Her heart beats faster and faster.
From the east, west, north, and south, and all the haunted places in between. It must be Sunday night, guys, because this is the D&D show.
Ooh, paranormal broadcasting, where? This is not a recording, 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 this is, you know.
Hey, gang, we are back live in studios once again, and we'll be in the D&D chat room all night long.
That's right, and people can log into that chat room by going to our website at www.ghostanddemon.com.
That's right, little brother, and this is the Ghost Man, Sean B.
That would make me Nathan S., a.k.a. the Demon Hunter.
Yes, and this is the Sunday, June 1st broadcast of the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
The June what?
June 1st.
Keep going.
How'd I get the date wrong? That's terrible. It's right on the website.
Is it? That might be my fault, then. I might have forgot to change the date on it. Today's June 8th, Sean.
June 8th, that's right, Payday was Friday, I should have known that, Demon Hunter. Okay, I threw you off, don't you have some more info there to spew out?
I do. It comes down to the fact that the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show is independently produced by Nathan Schoonover and Sean Burris, and is broadcast live on Omnisound, KarmaCast, Paranormal Planet, and I Am Haunted Radio.
Is that it?
We're also recorded for Para X Radio, so...
Right. Okay, guys, well, I tell you what, me and my brother Nathan, we put together another show for you this weekend, guys. Tonight's guest, first up, Nothing Stays Buried Forever. That's right, editor and editor-in-chief of the hot new paranormal magazine, Shallow Graves, Yvette and Sean Kelly. They stopped by to talk to the G&D show. Then later on, Larry Flaxman from RPAS, that's the Arkansas Paranormal and Anomalous Studies team, stops in to chew the paranormal fat and tell us what's cracking with the team of Paranormal Elite tonight on the G&D show.
The Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show is beyond the normal broadcast, and it starts right now.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
Original Bad Boys of Paranormal, and your host for tonight's show, Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
Yes.
Yes, indeedy. Welcome back, listeners from around the world, our friends and very good family. That's what we refer to you guys as, because we love you all. Thanks for joining us on what's sure to be another great episode of G&D Show.
That's right, Sean. And as I was telling Sean a little earlier, we had... I didn't tell you. We had a little mishap just before the show.
What happened?
Well, we almost pulled a Ghostly Talk. If you remember last week, Ghostly Talk's board exploded.
It did explode.
And because we had a horrible thunderstorm that was said to be coming through here, I ran upstairs and unplugged everything.
Thank God.
And the thunderstorm never hit. I was actually a little disappointed. I was looking forward to the thunderstorm.
Right.
And so I came back upstairs and I started setting everything up. And I don't know what happened, but everything shut down.
Oh, wow.
And the computer, the soundboard, everything lost it all, turned itself back on. Somewhere lightning must have struck something and lost our power there for a while.
So almost no show tonight, kids.
Almost no show. But
thanks to Demon Hunter, we pulled through.
I had to reset everything.
Oh, wow.
So everything that's programmed in the computer, I had to go in and reset it just before the show. And I could not...
Didn't you say your backside was sunburnt because you've been doing dirty, nasty things out in the sun this weekend?
Actually, I was setting up a pool, Sean. I was setting up a pool.
Okay.
So it wasn't dirty. It was actually very clean what I was doing, but I was doing it without a shirt on, which, being allergic to sunlight, I shouldn't have done. But,
you sounded like Trebek just then, little brother. You said the answer is setting up a pool.
Setting up a pool. I'm sorry, you lose. You lose, sir. Good day.
I'll take sexual relations in the sunshine, Alex, for 200, please.
Well, I could not find Bonnie Joe's information for how to call into the show. So for people who want to call into the show to either listen to the show on their cell phones or call in to ask a question, I just wanted to remind them that that phone number will be 605-475-8590. Our call ID system is 555-1081, followed by the pound sign. And if you want to ask a question, you'll press 1-1. So since I lost the Bonnie Joe information, I'll have to call her up and record a new one.
She's going to kill us. You know that.
Well, I clipped that one out of another show she did, so I suppose I can do it again.
Well, I got to say, you do the cigar of the week. Tonight I'm going to do the beer of the week, because here in the G&D studios, I like to have a refreshment with me. And the beer of the week would be Blue Moon Beer. That's right, Blue Moon Beer from the Blue Moon Brewing Company, and that's Belgian White, Belgian-style wheat ale. So thanks to the good people at Blue Moon Brewing Company for providing the G&D show with refreshments this evening.
Well, you know, Sean, you mentioned
you
mentioned the cigar of the week, so while we're at it, I'll just say that I went down to Butthead's Tobacco Emporium, yeah. And tonight I will be smoking a Cresano 18. It's a double Connecticut cigar the tobacco has been aged 18 years. So
you said that's a Connecticut cigar?
Well, you've got to understand the different terms for cigars, Sean. And a Connecticut cigar means it's wrapped in a leaf that was grown in Connecticut.
Oh, I see. What kind of leaf is it wrapped in? It ain't that wacky tobacco,
Sean.
Is it? Oh,
goodness.
No,
the
comments
of Sean Burris do not represent those of Ghostman and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
We may drink, we may smoke, but the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show does not promote any kind of illegal drugs. We just
absolutely not. And we don't drink or smoke either, guys, if you believe that. But
yeah, right. Anybody who's met us knows better, Sean.
But I got to tell you, Demon Hunter, last time you came here to Indianapolis, me and you were hanging out, and today, my friend, today, I went back to Crown Hill Cemetery, guys. If you want to check it out online, it's crownhillcemetery.com, and it's one of the oldest landmarks here in Indianapolis. It's a historical landmark, and it's a huge cemetery. And what happened was, back in the day, you know, Indianapolis had all these little pioneer cemeteries, Civil War, Revolutionary War soldiers, stuff like that, and a lot of farmers, Demon Hunter, they were building buildings over top of, you know, the cemeteries. They were planting their crops. And the state of Indiana said, guys, we got to do something. You know, these are Civil War soldiers. These are people in these family graveyards. So what they did was they dug up these bodies and they moved them to this central location, which is now Crown Hill Cemetery. It's been going since the early 1800s. And we went out there, and, you know, each little section, guys, they got like an Irish section, they got a German section, a Jewish section. I think there's a place for everybody out there. And it's just the monuments, because if anybody knows anything about me, you go to my MySpace page. I love taking pictures of angel statues. Nathan knows that. I love the statues, guys. You spend enough time in the cemetery, you find something to pass the time besides EVP, because some days, you know, the ghost just ain't hitting. It's like fishing, you know, sometimes you get something, sometimes you don't. But, yeah, man, I was out there today, and, of course, I do a lot of history. I'm a big history buff. So is Nathan. We love the Civil War, stuff like that. But I've been reading up on John Dillinger. Of course, that was one of the famous gangsters, a Hollywood gangster, if you will, back in the early 1900s. And he was an Indiana boy, Demon Hunter. He was a Hoosier.
Well, imagine all that crime coming from where you're born, Sean.
I know. And just a quick fact, too, guys, and this hasn't been out in the press or anything, but Johnny Depp has been in Indianapolis, seen in Indianapolis this week, filming a new movie to come out about John Dillinger, where I think he plays the role of Johnny. So anyway, I was out at the cemetery today, and I got to stop by, and I actually found the tomb of Dillinger and the whole family. And you know what gets me? You see the tombstone where John Dillinger Jr. was buried, and everybody knows about the story. John was gunned down outside the Biograph Theater in Chicago. He was sold out by the lady in red. She tipped off the FBI, and they gunned him down on the streets out there. And they had him on display for weeks and weeks and weeks. But anyway, they finally brought him back here to Indiana, and they buried him. And you can see the tombstone. The kids chisel off pieces of the tombstone. They make necklaces out of it, bracelets, whatever. And we were out there, and we checked it out, Demon Hunter, and it's just I don't promote gangsters, and I'm not, you know, saying gangsters are cool or anything, but it's just the history, man. It really hits you. And walking around.
Gangsters aren't cool. The Sopranos wasn't one of the biggest all-time hits of HBO.
Right, not at
no,
all.
Gangsters aren't cool.
But you know what's really weird? I read this book, John Dillinger, and of course that's by Derry Matera. Derry Matera wrote this book on John Dillinger. Actually, Bonnie Joe bought it for me, and I just got through it about a year ago. you know, hearing the guy's words, the stuff that he did around Indianapolis, he did a lot of bad stuff. But, you know, and then going to his grave and seeing where he was buried, and just the ghost stories that are out there at Crown Hill. And, brother, you've been out there.
I've been out there. It's a fabulous cemetery.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Children of the Grave did a whole piece on the orphanage that burnt down. And I couldn't find that at first today, but I know me and you stumbled upon it last time we were out there.
I've got pictures, when we were there.
Yeah, and I couldn't find the thing, but I stumbled upon it, guys. And it's this big black marble monument. And it's got two kids holding hands, like singing and dancing on the tombstone. And they don't even have the names of the kids up there. I don't know. Do they, Demon Hunter? I forget.
Yeah, they had. Well, one of the orphanages was a black orphanage. And I believe all the names of the children from that orphanage are carved into the stone. There are names of people who worked at the orphanage carved on the back. But I think the ones they didn't have names for were the ones that are in the numbered graves.
Right. Right. Now, I remember when Keith Age was on Children of the Grave, they were talking about how many bodies. They just dug a big trench and they put these bodies in there because a lot of the kids, they were burnt so bad. I'm sorry to say, they didn't even know what they, you know, who they were. So they threw a lot of these kids in the ditch. A lot of these kids had no parents. They were foster children. They lived in this home. A very tragic thing. But, you know, the caretakers, Demon Hunter, still out at Crown Hill Cemetery, say at night when they're making their rounds, they'll see kids run across their path, you know, when they're driving the trucks down
the
road.
Stop playing in the cemetery at night, Sean.
I know, but no, that's one cemetery I wouldn't be at night because I'd be lost. But, of course, I went up to see James Whitcomb Riley's tomb, too. That's the great Hoosier poet that wrote Little Orphan Annie and stuff, and he's at the highest point of Indianapolis. And it was just such a beautiful day, man. It was very hot, but you go out there, and you are truly in the city of the dead, and it really got me back to my ghost hunting roots, guys. It's getting warm again, and, man, do I want to get out there. I got the itch, Demon Hunter. I got it.
Yeah, well, there's a cream for that, Sean.
Yeah, I know. I took them all. It doesn't go away. But anyway, man, yeah, what a great day. And I got to go see Johnny Dillinger's grave out there. And, you know, Jim Irsay, the guy that brought your world champion 2007 Indianapolis Colts to Indianapolis from Baltimore. And, I wanted to give a shout-out real quick, Demon Hunter, and you're going to love this, this goes to Bonnie Joe, too, the Detroit Red Wings, y'all. Took home the Stanley Cup last week over the Pittsburgh Penguins. That's right, the Detroit Red Wings. Congratulations. They took home the Stanley Cup. Way to go,
Red Wings. Red Wings. Red Wings. Right, Red Wings. I think I ordered a dozen of those the last time I went down to Down the Hatch. They were spicy, but not that good.
They go down real good with a nice cold beer, you know?
Oh, okay.
But anyway, man. What a weekend we had here in Indiana, Demon Hunter. It rained for like 50 days and 50 nights. I mean, I don't think I seen it. It was like Moses. I thought Moses was going to show up with an ark. I woke up Saturday morning.
Sean?
Yeah?
How many animals did Moses put on the ark?
Two of each kind.
Okay. Moses never built an ark, Sean. Moses parted the Red Sea. He led the Jews out of Israel.
Noah.
Noah built the ark.
Apparently I should have went to Sunday school this morning. But instead, I'm doing a Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show every Sunday night. I talk about the paranormal. But you know what, guys? It's been a while since I cracked the Bible open. But you get the point. Knowing the ark, man. And I woke up Saturday morning, Demon Hunter, and the water was 3 feet from my back step. And I'm on a slab here. It's a slab house. So I didn't know to go out and get sandbags or go get wood or what. But thank God it stopped raining.
Well, I've been watching the news in your area, man. It's been horrible up there. They've got they show everybody building sandbag dams around their homes.
Literally 20 minutes down the road from me in a place called Martinsville, Indiana, they were riding Sea-Doos in the street. I mean, it was crazy, man. I just, by the grace of God, you know, we didn't get flooded out here. But, you know, heart goes out to you guys in Martinsville and everything. If anybody's listening from the central Indiana area, our hearts are with you guys. It's a big tragic thing down there, guys. A lot of people lost their homes this weekend. And the rain's supposed to come back tomorrow. The sewer systems and stuff just aren't keeping up. The drainage systems just aren't keeping up.
And, I've often wondered, you and I know that if a ghost is residual, they don't pay attention to what's going on around them.
Right, right.
But I've often wondered, if a ghost is intelligent, and he's in his home, and whether the home is abandoned, or if a flood comes through and starts wrecking that home, does the ghost start getting upset? Because I know if we... like, go in and renovate, they get upset. If natural disasters occurred, do you think it upsets the ghost?
You know, that's a good question, Demon Hunter. I think any kind of change would upset the ghost because, like you said, we go in, we start remodeling a house. It's been known that activity is at its highest when that sort of thing happens. But then again, like I've spoke to the owners of Whispers Estate, whispersestate.com, of course, out here in Mitchell, Indiana. I spoke to the owner, and he said he did buy the house. And, of course, if you guys want to check that out, it's on me and Demon Hunter's MySpace page. And we have actually Rachel speaking to us, guys. It was a great EVP we got there. I know I've
worn
out.
Now, has he given you any hints? Has he gotten anything since he moved in?
You know, that's what's amazing because I talked to him for a little bit, little brother, and I was trying to get him on the show, and he said, well, you know, I really don't have much to report. He said he's not living there.
Okay.
Like Jarrett Marshall, the previous owner, was. And so the cat's not living there every day. He does work out of Indianapolis. He has two homes. So the house does sit empty most of the week.
Well, I happen to know the ghost hunter, the ghost man is looking for a place. Why don't you offer to rent it from him?
That's true. That's true. I don't think I can afford the rent, and I don't think I commute from Mitchell to the airport every day. In Indianapolis, that's like 2 hours. But, you know, he said some little things have been happening around the house. Guests have been saying the rooms have been shaking. Like there's an earthquake going on. Just certain rooms will start shaking and stuff, vibration in the floor. The Jackson balls, I think, are still showing up out of nowhere. They have yet to hear Rachel screaming or anything like that. But I told Doug the other day, Doug from Ghostly Talk, of course, I had a dream that Van, the owner, had called me and said some stuff was going on. So maybe that was a premonition. Maybe that was some remote viewing. If you will, brother, that he's going to call real soon and tell us to get down there. Stuff's going crazy.
That would be very cool. And, you know, I did the Ghostly Talk remote viewing project that they did and had some very interesting results. You can actually take one of the pictures I drew and put it over one of the pictures that we were viewing, and it lines up.
Wow.
So,
you know, I always wondered about that too, Nate, because you start going into the military. The military actually funds a program for remote viewing.
Well, it's very interesting because if you take one of the pictures I drew, you can actually put it over one of the pictures we were remote viewing, the areas. And Scott L. from Ghostly Talk, his was, you can line it up with the outside of the building.
Right.
So
right.
I did the inside and he did the outside, you know?
So honestly, to all our listeners out there, guys, I don't know if we got time for you guys to call in or what, or go to the forums. Tell us what you think about remote viewing, because we are looking forward to the future here at the Geno, and we're talking about getting a remote viewer to come on and talk to us about it, because, you know, I'm in the dark on it. I have a basic knowledge of what they're doing, but very interesting, Demon Hunter. Do you believe in it?
I'm starting to think there's something to it, because using the concentration techniques they use, I came pretty close with some stuff. But hey, while we've got a few minutes here, because we're starting to run out of time for our first half hour of the show, I wanted to hit on our weird location of the week.
Oh, let's do it. Let's do it.
And that would be Foamhenge in Virginia. Foamhenge, Virginia. And if you're driving along U.S. Route 11 in southwest Virginia, you might ask yourself, why would anybody build a full-size replica of Stonehenge out of styrofoam? And the only answer they could come up with was to make people happy, of course.
Okay.
It's free and open to the public, and if you drive down Route 11 near what's called the Natural Bridge, you will come across a exact replica of Stonehenge in styrofoam. Now, you're not going to have to ask the same questions of how they lifted these giant stones, because obviously... it's styrofoam, but you can walk around it, walk through it, get some idea of what it was like to stand in actual Stonehenge. It's, from the pictures I've seen, it's on a beautiful hill that actually reminds me a little bit of the Stonehenge area. But Foamhenge is available to the public, and you can head on down to southwest Virginia to check it out, or you could head on over to our friends, Mark and Mark, at WeirdUS.com. WeirdUS and Weird New Jersey, www.weirdus.com.
That's right, that's right. Actually, Friday, Demon Hunter, I was so excited because I was sitting at work, and I had Weird US came on, the History Channel. I haven't seen it in so long, and I remember I used to love when they had the marathons on. I would stay home all day Saturday and just watch. We love Mark and Mark, guys. But hey, Demon Hunter, I wanted to go into the story real quick. We've got some time, right?
Sure, we have 7 minutes, Sean. You got 7 minutes to read a story.
Okay, guys, all right. Well, we all know Weekly World News, guys. I used to give you some crazy stories out of that. That was the greatest newspaper ever to hit the shelves. And now the Sun newspaper that's out has kind of took over for World Weekly News, and it has a story this week, and it's Haunted Tunnel Foretells Transportation Disasters, and there's a big one just around the corner. And of course, this comes out of Moonville, Ohio, guys. A lot of ghost stories out there. It says Moonville, Ohio became a ghost town in more ways than one. When the coal mines that sustained it closed down in the late 19th century, a railway tunnel that was the scene of numerous tragic deaths is the stomping ground of two tormented spirits who mournfully warn of transportation disasters to come. One ghost is that of the brakeman who drunkenly fell between two railway cars, sounds like Demon Hunter, and was crushed beneath the wheels of a train while it was chugging through a tunnel. The other is a wayward wife who was struck by a locomotive while sneaking home along the tracks after spending an evening with her lover. To this day, eyewitness reports seeing one or the other of the forlorn spirits standing by the entrance to the tunnel waving a ghostly lantern. Inevitably, within weeks of a sighting, a transportation disaster occurs somewhere in the United States. Both ghosts have been seen recently, Demon Hunter, sparking fears that a major calamity is waiting to happen. In the past, the ghosts have predicted 7 airline disasters, 3 ship sinkings, 11 train crashes, and more than 100 other deadly accidents involving transportation. This is the first time they've appeared together, says parapsychologist Lorraine Kinsey, who has documented the accuracy of the spirit's previous predictions, guys. So apparently they're seeing a lot of these ghosts out there together, Demon Hunter, for the first time.
Now,
and a lot of people are fearing there's going to be a big, tragic transportation.
But when is there a week in the U.S. where there isn't a big, tragic transport? I mean, you can click on the news just about anywhere.
Ruin it for everybody.
Every time I can tell you something. Every time I take my car in for repair, I have to sit down and watch the news at the little car on the TV in the little waiting room. And there's always a disaster somewhere within driving distance of where I live in Connecticut. So apparently, whenever my car needs repair, it's an omen that something terrible is going to happen.
Now, listen to this. Everybody, Demon Hunter, listen. You know I was raised Southern Baptist, right? Now I'm in between. I believe in a higher power, but I don't claim any religion. I keep an open mind to everything. But when we were kids, I know there was tragedies happening, but every single time I turn on CNN or the news anymore, there's something going on, dude. Every day there's a tornado or a tidal wave wipes out a whole country. And then here in Indiana, the floodwaters are rising so high, you got the state of emergency, things that haven't happened in 100, 150 years. You know, and my dad, and I remember the preachers, you're going to get this a lot, guys, with the Baptists and stuff. They always preach gloom and doom and the end of times. It's been the end of times for the last 400 years on this planet, right? Even before then. But you know, it's kind of like that scene in Ghostbusters when they talk about the dead shall rise and all these things happen in the end days. You know, I wonder if there's anything to that. We should have a prediction person come on and talk about this.
But
because
it's like everybody who's screaming December 21st, 2012.
Mm-hmm.
They're
mm-hmm.
screaming December because they stopped making the calendar.
The Mayan calendar.
The Mayan calendar on December 12th. 21st, 2012. Nowhere does it say that that's the end of the world.
Right.
That's just
where they got bored of making the calendar.
you think of it. Here are guys carving a calendar into stone.
Right.
They're carving it into stone. Okay. Wouldn't you look for a time that you could stop? Okay. They were doing an astrological calendar. Right, all the planets are going to come into line on December 21st, or we actually, I believe, come in line like with the center of the universe kind of thing, our galaxy, and
Venus and asteroid is aligned, yeah.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Venus
so
and Mercury.
Here's this great convergence Wouldn't this be when you would want to stop? You're like, okay, finally, whew, something's there. I can stop the calendar.
Absolutely.
It doesn't say, and somebody looked at me and said, well, you know, the Chinese calendar and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, but it doesn't say the end of the world.
Right.
It doesn't say the end of the world. And I think everybody's just got end of the, I think every few years, people around here have to find something to be the end of the world. If it's not Hail Bob with people like chopping things off to get onto a, to hop onto the asteroid or the comet, it's Y2K. And now that Y2K, we all survived Y2K. Oh no, there must be something else coming. There's always something for somebody to yell, oh, the world is going to end and I just ain't buying it. Because if I thought it was true, I would go out and get every credit card I could, max them out, because they ain't getting the money.
I'd be getting massages daily, brother.
Yeah,
you know, I gotta tell you, and we're not a big religious thing here on the show, guys, and we don't harp about the Bible and all that stuff, but I do gotta tell you some things I remember from when I was back in school and doing the Bible classes and all that stuff. God said, if you believe in the Bible and all that stuff, he said, I shall come as a thief in the night. No man shall know the time or day. But yet, that's funny to me because all these prophets and people that claim to be holy men say they're predicting the end of times. It's coming. It's gonna happen. But yet, the man himself, the big man upstairs, says in the book, I shall come as a thief in the night. No man will know the date or time. So there you go. I mean, it's a huge contradiction. Oh, my God, the world's going to end. I give up. Let's go to commercial.
Well, you know, that's not a bad idea, Sean. Let's go to commercial break, and when we come back, we'll have our very own Gigi with Inside the Horror.
Stick around, guys. Top Shelf Gigi up next.
The American Ghost Society's 12th Annual Haunted American Conference will be held June 20th and 21st in Decatur, Illinois.
Hosted by Troy Taylor at the Haunted Lincoln Theater.
Speakers include Patrick Burns, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and Keith Age.
Also, Lynn Adams, Luke Nalbarski, Dale Kazmarek, Stephen LeChance, and psychic Ken Bird.
Don't miss this two-day event with special investigations and tours sold on a first-come, first-served basis.
To register, guys, go to www.prairieghost.com/conference.html or just call 1-888-446-7859.
Broadcasting live from this event will be the Ghostly Talk radio crew and Nathan S. and Sean B. from the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
Witness a special live performance on the Lincoln stage from Spectrum Men, the Atlanta horror punk band made up of real-life ghost hunters.
Admission remains the same as 1997, $50 per person.
It's the 12th Annual Haunted America Conference in Decatur, Illinois with Troy Taylor. Register now.
This is Mark and Mark from Weird U.S. on the History Channel.
And you're listening to the Ghost Man and...
See if we'll do it.
Hi, this is Mark Moran and Mark Skirman from Weird U.S. on the History Channel.
And you're listening to the Ghost Man and...
Hi, this is Mark and Mark from Weird U.S. on the History Channel.
And you're listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Sounds handy. Hey, you know, Sean, I'm actually looking forward to that American Ghost Conference coming up. It's just a few weeks away.
It is. Troy Taylor's going to be there, the American Ghost Conference. I don't know the dates, Demon Hunter. Help me out. June... First through the,
I believe you're about right there, Sean. I've got a cigar in my mouth. I've got to move it over here.
It's the weekend. It's the weekend after next, guys. It's not this coming weekend, but the weekend after that. You got to be there. It's at the Haunted Lincoln Theater. Of course, you got Spectrum in. The real-life ghost-hunting band, they're going to be performing live, guys. I think this is the first time he's ever had anything like that. So we're going to be rocking and rolling and doing a little ghosting at the same time. It's the way I get down, baby. That's how I do it.
And it's going to be June 20th and 21st, Sean. So June 22nd, we all know I can't get back in time to do the show. But what we will be bringing you, if you can't get there, we will bring you some interviews from the conference. But it is in no way the same as being at the conference. So you really should... try and get out there for it. And Sean, you know,
Demon Hunter, I just got to say real quick before you holler at me, I wanted to give a shout out to everybody in the chat room. This will be quick tonight because we only got Spanky McBubbles. We got Kenny B of Pyro. What's happening? What's going on, Spanky and Kenny? We got Marcy. We got Ghost Chaser. And we got Henry. What's going on, guys? Thanks for joining us on another great episode of the Ghost Man Demon Hunter Show.
That's right. You read it off this week, Sean, when last week it was too full and you just couldn't read all the names, huh?
Yeah, well, I was blurred vision. What can you do?
And yet, you're sober enough for me to ask you the most important question of the evening.
Uh-huh.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Yo!
Hey,
Katie! Oh, boy, 5'9".
Y'all wanna make a movie? Well, I'm 42 years old, I like to cuddle, and I love The Exorcist.
Welcome back, GG.
What's up, guys?
Oh, a whole
What's
lot
cracking,
of nothing.
My little curly-haired vixen?
Oh my god, I'm just reeling from summer here. I'm like swim and barbecued out, and I'm like, I'm like, I just want to lay down and have somebody pet me. It's fine.
Hey, are you guys flooding out there in Chicago? Because we're underwater here in Indianapolis, Indiana. It's,
well, you
it's
heard
terrible.
What happened. We had two tornadoes touch down yesterday.
Oh, my.
Dude, I didn't hear that. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm cool. I was actually I was at the bar, so...
That's great. Well, that's where half the
she
Irish...
didn't even notice anything was going on.
No, it was nuts. Like, I know that one touched down a little bit south of me, and it was heading straight toward Chicago, and then another one touched down a little bit southwest of us. So right. I'm not sure. I haven't checked the news today. I was like, I don't need to look at the news. I need to get ready for the Ghost Man Demon Hunter show. So,
You know, I've seen that. Somebody sent me something on MySpace because everybody knows the Devil's Space. A lot of people send cool stuff. But they had one of the – it was in Ireland, man, and everybody was on the bar stool, and the flood water was on top. And the little thing said, as waters rise, outbreak of, you know, pandemonium happens in Ireland. And they're all sitting there drinking and getting drunk at the bar. I loved it. It remind me of all of us, you know, at a conference or something. If the tornado came through, we'd be like, whatever. Barkeep, yeah. Another round, please.
The G&D show would still be sitting there, what? What happened?
No, we'll watch
tornado?
CNN tonight.
Where?
Hey, did that a small country?
Just off the bar stool.
Just for you,
don't
GG.
We have listeners in tornado?
Just for you, GG, I actually have the international listener list right now. The sad part is I can't read all the names.
Is it Manila?
It's not Manila this week. I try Manila. Never to, like, do another the same international listener 2 weeks in a, or a few, within a short distance. But this week we do have Singapore, China.
I wrote a song about it. Singapore, China. Singapore.
Yeah, Sean China. Sings poor. We know.
How did you integrate an acoustic set?
I'm trying to add it. I'm going to be a stand-up comedian.
Yeah. But he's a stand-up comedian, and his listeners are a walkout audience. But,
where's the rim shot?
Ba-dum-boom. But we also have Brisbane, Australia. We're growing in Australia, guys. Growing in Australia.
I'm growing right now, Demon Hunter. In fact.
And we are in Transico, Mexico.
Oh, man, I thought you were going to say Transylvania.
And I can't even begin to pronounce this one. Gordlandia, Mexico. It's Gudalajara.
Hey, La Cerveza. Mexico.
And Anderlecht, Belgium.
Oh, thank you for Blue Moon, everybody. It's a Belgium wheat beer.
That's right. Ansford in the United Kingdom.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't even know. Regina, Canada. Regina, Canada.
Regina, is that a real place?
Regina.
Gigi, is that a real place? Regina, Canada.
I think I'm like, isn't that one of our fans that put restraints? I swear to God.
I think her name's Regina from Canada. That's
yeah, it's the one we can't get rid of, right?
I thought that was Sean.
Well, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Tell him.
I'm the stalker that didn't go away.
Yeah.
I met you guys at the conference, and I was like, great, can I be a part of the show? So I just started calling in every week.
I bumped into him in Gettysburg. I haven't been able to get rid of him since.
I was going
to
say, I'm like, you just sort of bumped into Nate. That was the end of it.
I was cold and naked on the battlefield, and Demon Hunter gave me his coat, and the rest is none of your business.
I was just trying to cover you up. Who are you kidding? So,
oh, my God.
What do we have in a movie this week, Gigi?
Well, guys, I've actually been asked. I get asked to do some movie reviews from time to time. People have requests, or they have things they want to hear about. Some of the newer stuff, I actually have people that ask me all the time about. But this movie, for some insane reason, I have been getting asked. I think I must have been asked, like, no doubt, hands down, 30 times.
Are they asking you to review Zombie Sheep again?
No, I would love to, though, and I'm excited.
I would, too.
Do you know that I think we should get royalties for that, because it's now on every Blockbuster shelf. They're running ads on it on MySpace. I'm like, come on.
That's because of you, Gigi. It's because of the G&D show with Gigi.
We broke it. We trumped Fango. We broke it. We got black sheep in the U.S. soil. I think we deserve some sort of, I don't know, maybe a zombie sheep of our own. I don't know.
Or a t-shirt, at least.
A t-shirt, something. You know, you figure
my parents went to England. All I got was this crummy black sheep or whatever, zombie sheep t-shirt.
Okay, wow. Sean, put the blue moon down. Step away from the microphone.
Stop. Like, what?
Wasn't it from England? Wasn't it?
No, it's from Australia.
Oh, my parents went to Australia and all I got was this crummy zombie sheep
that's
shirt.
Why we probably have all those Australian fans, because we keep mentioning zombie sheep and they know exactly what we're talking about.
That's right.
They're like, oh, God, we have this epidemic out here, and Ghostman Demon Hunter, they're sympathetic to our needs. And
no, I think my blood pressure's rising. I might pass out, guys. Just continue on if it's silent. Just saying.
What?
You getting lightheaded.
You know why, Sean, you know why the Irish wear kilts.
Why is that?
Because the sheep hear zippers.
Oh, I'm going to get you back. Dutch, what was it? Dutch American or whatever?
Yes,
Dutch
I am.
American.
I'm a Dutch American. Good what job, Dutch
Canadian douche.
You know that paint, Dutch boy paint, whatever? I don't know, whatever.
It's got Nathan on the front, guys. Go out and buy a can of Dutch boy paint and it's bigger Nathan.
It's actually a portrait of Nathan. I did.
Yeah. He's naked wearing wooden shoes. Yeah.
I didn't know we were on video cam.
Well, you were.
Okay. I cannot
love
remember
your hat.
Which one of you is afraid of, like, elves or gnomes?
We don't discuss the Demon Hunter's fear of trolls. Okay, it's trolls, and trolls are evil.
Did they ever capture that gnome in Argentina?
I captured the gnome, Sean. It's all good.
You know what? You want to hear something funny? I totally thought about you, Nate. I was doing we do this thing on the Gigi show after this. We do this thing called Herb of the Week or like Stone of the Week, and we talk about like different things like that. We're doing mugwort this week, and actually one of its uses in ancient times was to get rid of gnomes and little things that get in your house. I busted up laughing. I was like, what? Oh, I should send something to Nate.
We don't mind the gnomes, although they are a nuisance. It's the trolls.
Just trolls. Okay.
It's the trolls.
Little things that sneak into your bed at night. Do you got anything for that? Get rid of
them? Well, then, talking about? I haven't gotten that far yet. No, I'm kidding.
Speaking of not gotten that far, Gigi, we interrupted you while you were discussing what the movie was.
I know. What am I doing? What do I even... It's like Twilight Zone. I wasn't going to review this. I wasn't going to review this because this isn't paranormal, but I've been asked by everybody, and I'm like, what is it about this movie that like, no, I didn't get a bunch of requests to go see Diary of the Dead or... No, I get it for The Strangers. I'm like, really? What about this movie? Why? Why? So I decided to appease everybody out there that's been hounding me and asking me about it. Why not? Let's review The Strangers. So this goes out to those fans out there. But did you guys see it yet or...
Don't ruin it for me. I went to see. I couldn't get in tonight because it was later, and I would have been in the movie theater right now where you guys started the show. But I went to see Indiana Jones today. But go ahead.
Indiana Jones rocked. Anyway,
dude, I loved it. Dun, 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 dun. Dr. Joe. Okay.
moving on. Short round. Okay. So this one actually, it's real simple. The plot, basically, these two, boyfriend-girlfriend couple, they're at this isolated summer home of his. They go through some domestic issues, and then bada-bing, bada-boom, you got three masked assailants that are trying to scare him to death. So that's basically the gist of it. So, that's pretty much it. That's the movie right there. And that's pretty much all I need to say about it. No.
What was that porno movie playing? The music? It was porno
did
music.
Did you hear that? I was hoping you didn't hear that.
So professional.
That, but okay. You know, we're actually shooting.
Gigi's in the background going, bow, chicka, bow, bow.
I'm like, man, I don't want to review The Strangers. I'm going to review Under the Rainbow. Yeah.
Yes. It's little people.
That goes out to Bonnie from Ghostly Zone.
Don't talk about little people. You'll freak Nathan out.
I know. Stay
trolls,
away.
Trolls.
Trolls. Trolls.
Yeah. Troll. Not the little fuzzy ones they put on top of pencils in the 80s. The like the Stephen King cat's eye kind of troll that freaked me out.
Was that not freaky? Where he would jump on Drew's chest and start sucking the life out of her?
You know, the three Billy Goats Gruff troll is what scares me the most, okay?
How do you sleep at night, Nate? I mean, do you worry that things will come out of the wall?
My cat sleeps on my bed and keeps me safe all night long.
He's worried the underwear gnomes will come out and grab him.
Well, if he doesn't wear any, it's not a big deal, but like you, Sean.
I don't think he does. I wear silk thongs, thank you. Okay, we had to bring it up. Everybody knows now I wear a silk G-string. Thank you.
With the G&E logo right on the front.
That's right. That's right. Got Nathan's face on the front and Gigi's on the back, right?
How did I know that was coming? So, Gigi, you did it.
I don't know if I like being in the back there.
Oh, yeah, considering it's a thong.
You're a little darker than the rest of my...
It's a tight space. I don't know.
Yeah, it looks like you got a real good tan.
So you did not like The Strangers, Gigi.
Okay, here's what I'm gonna give it to you, because this is basically, and no offense to anybody that absolutely falls in love with this movie, but this is for those people that want to take their date to a movie and have their date jump in their lap and like grab them and stuff like that. It's like a cheap feel movie.
And do
pretty
it
much. It wasn't well made. I mean, there's nothing extremely great about it. The story has been run through so many times. It's your typical domestic invasion storyline. I mean, how many times have we seen this rehashed? In the last, like, 5 years, we've seen this rehashed over and over again because of, you know, the basically social atmosphere that we're in these days. But, I mean, it's not the cream of the crop as far as those movies are concerned. It's just... I don't get it. I'm like, really? You people wanted to see this? Why? But no, it's first time writer and director, Brian Bertino's movie. And this movie got held up in production. It was a year behind. They started tinkering around with the ending. You know, that's never any good news. I mean, everybody that knows anything about production knows if it's gets held behind that much, obviously you're looking at a bad movie. So I was like, all right, whatever. But I went into it hoping that it'd be kind of jumpy and scary. And yeah, it was. It was your typical guy coming around the corner, making you jump out of your skin kind of thing. It was an intensity. There was a buildup. So I do give it credit for that. I mean, I can't fault it. It's just not a great movie, but it isn't a bad movie. Somebody that was in the theater actually coined it rather well. They said, that movie sucked, but it was kind of good. And I was like, you know, that is as kind of weird as that sounds. Yeah, that's true. This movie sucked, but it was kind of good. So it was the whole thing about this movie was just the buildup, the intensity. It was literally the jump out of your skin parts that made this movie. Otherwise, there's no reason to see
Liv
it.
But Liv Tyler was very pretty.
Yeah, but you know what? She's very bland in this movie. Like,
I'll take it.
Do you know what she reminds me of? Do you remember Shelley Duvall's performance in The Shining?
Hey, do you know what would look good on her? Me.
A Shelley Duvall?
Yeah.
No. On Liz Taylor. Liz Taylor.
I was like, oh my God, give some boundaries, man.
Ghostman and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
I love Liz Taylor. Leave her alone, Sean.
Now that you know, you guys are going to fight over. It's great.
I know.
Oh, yeah, did you threaten me because I reviewed The Reaping with Hilary Swank?
Yeah.
I said she was hot, and you said to back off.
That's right. Hillary's mine, too.
Nathan's got dibs on Hollywood. He's like, no, don't touch her. Don't talk to her.
Leave her be. She does not. She is beautiful. Do not mock her.
Do not mock her. No, she reminded me of Shelley Duvall's performance in The Shining. It was like the worst performance in the movie, and you're like, what's wrong with her? Like, why is what's happening? And see, I like Liv. Like, I like a lot of the things that she's done, but perhaps
I'm not going to hurt you. I'm just going to bash your brains in.
Yeah. Perhaps I'm thinking she got the script for this and was like, well, it's the money in my pocket. Why not? Because it just doesn't seem as if she cares.
I'm doing the Hulk later this summer. It will build up my rep just before the Hulk.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm actually excited to see that with Ed Norton. That's going to be awesome. But
it looks like almost exactly the same story as the last Hulk movie.
See, I didn't like the last one. There was no spark. Marvel movies seem to have this spark, you know?
You have to watch the Hulk 4 times before you find the spark.
You have to. And that way it's the, what's that, the heart jumper?
Yes.
What's that thing?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Nobody knows what I'm talking about.
So we'll add the bell now.
We'll add the bell. Nobody is. So you're just talking about heart jumping things. Nobody knows. They're like, I just let her go. No, seriously, I mean, Sean, if you're looking to see it, awesome. I'd say take a date, because she'll be all over you jumping around and stuff like that. Because it does. It's the typical shriek-and-grab-your-date movie. So I would not recommend that, you know, people buy this on DVD. I went and saw it, but I don't plan on seeing it again. But, right. Hey, if you want, like, just a good movie that has a lot of intensity and some jumping out parts, I recommend it then. But as, like, a great movie, as a movie that you should go out and buy, no. I'd say back off. But, yeah, you know, that's pretty much it. It was...
Hey, Nate, if I may... Yeah,
who in this country? Where did this spark come from that everybody wanted to go see this movie? Like, seriously, of all the movies in the world, I get the most requests for this movie? Why? What happened?
It's totally the commercials. The commercial... The commercials play on every... Since the commercials for that movie have come out, I walk around my house and lock every window and door before I go to bed at night. That keep the trolls out. So.
I was just going to say trolls. But you know what? I recommend it as a movie to take your date to and things like that. It's basically numb mind candy. That's it. It's just, here, gargle on this and vomit it out. Pretty much all it is. Like,
Sean, don't go there. Don't go there, Sean. Don't go there. Don't go there. Gigi, you are no longer allowed to use the word gargle on the show because it puts Sean in a bad place. I've heard that laugh. Don't go there, Sean.
Give me another beer.
There's something to this extent at one of the conferences, but I guess that's why I signed the gag order. So
don't use the word gag either. It's just that.
Nathan, did you get the message I sent you? Because sent it to you.
You had to send it.
Okay. I did. I wanted him to ask you
Everybody
a question.
Will be on MySpace next week. What Sean's comments were.
I sent him how to end the segment tonight. I sent him something, a request, and I didn't know if he got it or not.
Oh no. What is it gonna be? Oh God.
How many Liv Taylor hot plump lips did this movie get?
Yes!
This is Sean's request. How many Liv Taylor hot plump lips did this movie get?
I'm gonna give it a 3.
Loving an elevator!
The only good thing about it is, like I said, if you just want something stupid to jump out at you and scare you, that's it.
Okay, so it's a 3 for that. And an extra 1 for the hot plump Liv Taylor lips. So...
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Everybody.
That's like a 4 or 5 because of Liv. There you go.
Okay.
No, seriously, Sean, go see it. But I'd recommend taking somebody that you want to get lucky with. So,
right. Okay.
That's my advice to everybody out there because it's I don't know.
Gigi, can you fill in for me? Because I'm going to go ahead and head out early and start calling people I know.
It's the same garbage that we've been watching the last 5 years. So I mean, I don't. Late showing. But, hey, I'm going to say it again, and thank you to that person that said it. They summed it up. This is your review of The Strangers. It sucked, but it was kind of good.
Yeah. So you give it 2 farts and a gargle?
We're going to leave the gargling for another couple.
Yeah, that's going to be for another show that I'm not... never mind. There goes family rating anyway.
Lips, everybody. Liv Taylor.
Family rating was gone. And...
So you guys were talking about Liv. I mean, you guys didn't have a thing for Scott Speedman, who did Felicity.
Who played her boyfriend. Is he an actor?
Yeah, he played her boyfriend in the movie.
Oh.
I couldn't get past Liv's lips. I mean, guys, come on. juicy. Whatever gloss she wears, it shines. I just, you know, beautiful lips.
Yeah, I would say that would be the best reason to watch the movie, because, I mean, it's one of those jump out and scary movies, and it's kind of like, I don't plan on buying it, whatever.
I was like,
how much more crap can you feed me, Hollywood? Please.
I don't know what to do, Gigi. I don't know what to do. We've got two more minutes, and Sean's got a beer in him, and we've been talking about gargling, so we're just,
talking about Liv Taylor's lips for another 3.5 hours, so let's do it tonight, guys.
There is something paranormal about them. You just kind of look into it. Most women want you to look into their eyes instead of their chest. Liv just has to keep people's chins up a little bit more so they stop looking at the lips.
I always thought, like in Armageddon, when I don't want to close my eyes, I don't want to fall asleep.
All right, we just lost all our listeners, but okay.
I just always pictured myself there with her, you know, with the animal crackers, and he's going down south. Wow.
The comments of Sean Burris do not represent those of anyone else in the universe.
Oh, my God. That was probably the best review I've ever heard for Armageddon.
Thank you. Armageddon it. Yeah.
Armageddon it.
Okay, that was Def Leppard, Sean. That was not in the movie. So.
Right. Right, but what I sung was by Aerosmith, of course, a classic rock band.
That was singing?
That no.
was, okay.
That was going out to Liv Taylor.
To the Aerosmith hour.
Yes, I'm sure Liv Taylor is very happy that you sang a song that her father wrote there, Sean.
Liv, if you want to contact me, don't listen to these bozos. Get me at ghostanddemon.com. Make sure you see Sean, because Nathan will think it's for him automatically.
He'll fight you for it. I'll just be sitting here going, all right.
I'll never get the email because he knows I don't check him. He checks him first, and he'll be having
No, if you two had to fight over, you know what I'll be like? Why'd you make that movie?
Yeah.
It sucks,
you will
but it was
not.
Good.
You can say that to her after. After I get like. You're like, yeah, Gigi wants to talk to you now. Have a good night. Here's, give me back my room key. Bye.
You know what cracks me up is this movie actually got an R rating, which this is kind of cool. I actually like this about it. It got an R rating for the intensity, the buildup, which you don't see happen too often anymore. It's usually Sean alerts where it gets the R rating. But yeah. I thought that was kind of neat. I was like, wow. And yeah, it is really intense. And I could say I lost a lot of skin on my arm because my friend kept ripping my arm off. So yeah, it was your special friend? No, just my friend.
Oh, okay. Okay, I didn't know.
It was Regina from Canada.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Regina.
I told her to stop bothering us.
Stop coming to the movies with us. Just leave us alone.
Alrighty, Gigi. Any clue what we're going to be talking about next week?
Well, it'll be paranormal, and it will not be about Liv Tyler's lips.
Oh, okay.
Liv Tyler. We said Taylor. It's Tyler.
It's Tyler.
I could mention her lips next week just to make you happy.
At least once.
Okay, I'll just be talking. I'll go lift Heather's lips, and then just keep going.
If you could throw in something about my other girlfriend, too, it's...
Swank. See, I love her last name, Swank. That's what gets me. I wrote a song about it. You guys want to hear it?
No.
Yeah. So, I guess what? I will be seeing you guys in Decatur for the Ghost Conference.
Decatur, Illinois.
With the Haunted Lincoln Theater.
Mr. Troy Taylor.
Sean's going to just keep repeating his lines from the promo.
I was going to say, didn't I hear these?
What? We've been listening to it for like 8 months, and now it's finally here. I'm like, didn't we already do this?
I think we did a different one, yeah.
Yeah, we did. We did something else. Nathan
It's Twilight Zone.
We're losing you, Sean. I'm losing your connection. So we're going to have to go to a break, Gigi.
Yeah, that's cool.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, I'm confused because I'm thinking of Aerosmith and Liv Tyler's lips. I don't know.
Well, it's good fodder for your show this evening.
Thanks. All right, guys, I will see you next week, and we'll have something way more exciting to talk about than The Strangers.
Sounds good, Gigi. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Sorry to all you fans out there that really wanted to see it.
We'll see.
All right, Sean, we got to quickly go to a break.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but I'm going to work on the line while we're at break.
Okay, guys, we'll stick around. The hot new Paranormal magazine to hit the shelves, Shallow Graves, the editor and editor-in-chief,
Yvette and Sean Kelly up next, guys. Stay tuned.
That's right. We'll be right back right after this. And while we're on break, Sean, just wanted everybody to know that we will be listening to Lord, I Want an Exit by The Low Country, which you can find on GarageBand.com.
Yay!
The Darker Side of the Moon is a listener's guide to the creepy, the spooky, and the unexplained. The Darker Side is an alternative variety show that delves deep into the shadowy secrets of just about everything, from the occult to dark comedy, sometimes serious, but mostly fun. Our show has a little for everyone. Join me, Becky Ray, and Laura Moon Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's 8 p.m. Central and 6 p.m. Pacific at DarkerSideRadio.com.
Welcome to The Deadline, podcast of the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. Get your weekly download to all things ghostly and paranormal, and then some. Test your knowledge of the paranormal with haunted trivia. Email your otherworldly experiences for Parashare and listen in to the rants and useless banter of Laura and Brian. If they've got an opinion on the paranormal,
or even a great pub,
they'll talk about it. The Deadline can be easily downloaded from the NJGHS.net website. You can also listen to archive shows at PodcastAlley.com. Say, while at Podcast Alley, cast a vote for The Deadline, because everyone knows that at some point in life, you have to meet the deadline.
Hi, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you're listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Okay, well, if anyone else wants to call in and talk on the G&D show, all they have to do is dial 605-475-8590. When asked for the conference code, enter 555-1081, followed by the pound sign.
That's right, and then if they want to ask a question, they just have to push 1-1 to raise their hand. Isn't that right, Sean?
Absolutely, that's right, Demon Hunter, but I got to tell you, That's awesome. We hope to hear from you guys. We love you so much. But welcome back, everybody, from around the world. Listen to the Ghost of the Demon Hunter show tonight. As the sun sets on another beautiful Sunday, the ghosts roam out in the cemetery. We are ready to welcome our first guest tonight. Of course, that's the editor and editor-in-chief, Yvette. I hope I'm saying that right. Yvette and Sean Kelly from Shallow Grave, guys. What's up, guys?
Not much. What's up with you?
Yeah, just hanging out.
So, yeah, that's the way a lot of these shows start. So how's the weather out there?
It's hot.
It's hotter than hell.
See, it's hot here, too, guys. We actually, I'm from Indiana. Nathan's from Connecticut. And we actually got floodwaters, man. And my house was almost flooded the other day. And we were talking about the end times. Yeah, we were talking about the, you know, everybody's predicting, saying the end of the world's coming. And I said, you never see floods in Indiana hardly. And you got people riding down the street in Sea-Doos. So, you know what? The dead might rise tomorrow. I don't know, guys.
At least the coffins might get pushed up out of the ground from all the rainwater, so.
Wow.
See, I think that would be kind of neat, actually. If I die and they put me in a box, I hope one day I can float down the street and somebody finds me. I think that would be cool. It'd be like my last ride, you know?
You know, Sean, it's not funny. It's happened, okay? Just let it be, Sean, okay?
It has happened, but I'm just saying, would you rather sit there in the box in the earth and just rot, or would you rather take a ride down the stream? I would rather ride down the stream.
I'm always looking for a chance to take a nap, okay? So if I can stay in the box, I'm okay.
But I got to tell you, Demon Hunter, and all our listeners out there tonight, we got these cool cats that came on today. These guys have put together this magazine, the hottest new paranormal magazine to hit the shelves out there, guys. It's going to be the coolest thing out there. What's going on, guys, with Shallow Graves? You got to tell us, how did it start?
About 4 months ago, we came up with the concept of we wanted to do something different. And what we ended up doing was we got our heads together and we said, hey, you know what? Let's do something great, and we came up with this thing where we said we'll do something that's crossed between Fangoria and Fate Magazine. So when we did that, it was just a matter of trying to figure, okay, who can we get for our first issue? And me being a big Supernatural fan for the TV show, there was a lot of conventions around. I said, hey, let's start with that because, you know, it's a very hot TV show. So I started with that. Sean went and, you know, he went and he interviewed Dee Snider, and we've been going ever since. So I've covered several conventions that are Supernatural, and I've gotten interviews with almost all the actors, past and present. I ended up with a dozen interviews with the Supernatural actors. Sean got Dee Snider. We have Penny Dreadful. We have so many people. John Pelico from The Killer Pumpkins, just for the first issue alone. James Zahn from Death Walks the Streets.
Yeah.
And it has been incredible. Well, I mean, I've already been over to England and Florida and everything just traveling for the magazine.
Well, you know, it's funny. You guys decided you wanted to do something great, and you came up with this magazine. Sean and I tried that. We wanted to come up with something great, but unfortunately all we got was a show. So
that's what I was saying, guys. How could you bypass the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show for your next magazine? I thought we covered the
You know what I mean?
Oh, no, that's definitely an idea we've been looking at ever since we talked to you, so.
There's something paranormal about the fact that we've stayed on for over a year, that people actually still carry the show. It's,
I'd like to thank the fine people at the St. James Brewing Company in Ireland because the Guinness has helped us through the broadcast. And I'm just saying, hey, I got to mention Guinness when I got a cat on named Sean Kelly. You know what I'm saying? Because he knows.
Yeah, I know. It's weird when you call up. Well, hey, Sean, it's Sean. How you doing?
Yeah, it's only a couple Irishman. Times.
Yeah, it's another Irishman, man. Just come on the show, will you? Come on.
Yeah, Sean wants to turn this into the Irish hour.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
Obviously, Sean, the other Sean, did not hear my Irish joke earlier, so we're good.
Tell him.
No. That joke only works once per show. So.
Okay, you got it.
Hey, Sean, why do the Irish wear kilts?
Why do the Irish what?
Wear kilts, which is usually Scottish, but Irish do too. Why do we wear kilts?
Why do Irish wear kilts? Because sheep can hear a zipper from a mile away.
But I'm bumped. Don't ask him jokes.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. This is for Sean Burris. Sean Burris, since you mentioned the Scottish, you know why the Scottish wear kilts.
That's right, because the sheep can hear them from a mile away.
Well, the Scottish wear kilts because the Irish can hear zippers, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, Irish, little known, the Irish also wear kilts, too, so...
Well, the sheep didn't hear me coming, that's all I'm saying, so.
We've got a thing for zombie sheep on this show. You got to understand that when you come on. Ever since the movie Black Sheep was going to come out, Gigi was the first to cover it. It's kind of been our pet now. Our pet is a zombie sheep.
The zombie sheep.
Sounds great.
But you know, Yvette and Sean, you guys got together. You guys put together Shallow Graves. I cannot wait to read this issue. I cannot wait to see this magazine. I mean, you guys, I mean, when you were growing up, I mean, what possessed you? What got you into the horror and the paranormal industry? I mean, what happened?
Well, I came from a family of entertainers, so it kind of just leaned towards that way. And growing up, I'd, you know, watch a lot of Creature Double Feature and... Now, most of it, you know, you watch Godzilla and then go out and play and then come back. But it just kind of went a little more from there. You know, I grew up in Massachusetts, and, you know, you can't walk anywhere in Massachusetts without having something supernatural, you know, around with all the, like, the Danvers Asylum, the Bridgewater Triangle, Lizzie Borden's house, Salem, Mass., yeah. You know, everything like that. And then just meeting Yvette and coming down to Rhode Island. And one of Yvette's brothers...
my brother Tommy is actually a ghost hunter, and he's a well-renowned author here in Rhode Island, in New England, actually. And he does a lot of stuff. So growing up, he was always really big into folklores and ghosts and everything like that. So it's always been something that I've known about since I was young because he was very big into it. And now he just does it full time.
I told Sean, Yvette, I said, get your baby brother on, man. We'll get him on the show. We'll pump the book up. We'll talk about it. You know what I'm saying? But tonight, man, with you guys, we want to help you guys out with this magazine. Because I tell you what, guys, in this field, you see so many magazines come up. A lot of them don't last long. You know, you had Ghost Magazine. I had the honor of being in Ghost Magazine, which I think is still out there. It's a very well-done magazine. And they talk about the paranormal a lot and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, you guys come out with Shallow Graves. We want to do whatever we can for you guys. I mean, this is a great idea. I love Nothing Stays Buried Forever. I love the name of the magazine. And
you guys
cover the horror genre as sure as the paranormal, right?
The title we have is like a three-tier title. It's Shallow Graves for the supernatural and the natural. Nothing Stays Buried Forever. It's because we try and touch on everything that's in the supernatural world plus the unnatural world, which for me means nothing that's normal. We've got stories, we've got ghost stories that have actually been written by readers that have sent in. Our first story is actually Dr. Beetle's Emporium Dr. Beetle's Emporium of Oddities by a writer named Christopher Allen Death. And it's a great story.
Did you say
Death? We also have stories that were written off of legends that are actual legends, such as one from England called the Dead House. And yeah. Thomas actually has his own article in our magazine called The Ghosts Among Us, where Tommy touches on, he brings locations and haunted locations and areas across the United States and brings out, you know, the folklore and everything. The first one that he's done is Ram's Tale, which is a historical haunted site in Rhode Island. And then we have things as such from the supernatural, like the Supernatural TV show. One of the things is Yvette also interviewed Steve Carlson, who's a musician that people might sit there and go, well, he doesn't have anything to do with the supernatural, but for us it's, yeah, he actually does, because he's written songs that have been used on the Supernatural TV show, and he plays at all the conventions because he's very good friends with the lead stars, Jensen Ackles and Jared Padalecki. And so anything that we have, anything that we find that just touches the supernatural, we'll go and look at it and see, you know. As I stated one time, somebody brought up a good point, well, what does it cover in the supernatural? It's like, well, the TV show Jericho that was out, great show, good plot line, and, you know, it was about the, you know, what happens to the United States after a nuclear explosion happens. And, you know, you could sit there and look at it and go, this might have a thing there. And I had to look at it one day and go, no, this is a perfect example. It's what happened after the world had nuclear explosions in the United States. There's no supernatural theme to this. Now, if you throw in a couple of zombies or something, you got something here.
The cockroaches take over. We know, right? The nuclear explosion, the cockroaches take over.
Hey,
I didn't hear that?
Yeah.
Sean said that the cockroaches take over. That would be super. That would be paranormal. And,
yeah. Yeah, we interviewed a band called Crud out of Detroit who, their music's actually been played on CSI. They were running the commercials on the A&E network, and their music was the music that was in the background. This is a very visual band, that if you've ever seen them, it's one of those shows that you walk away going, yeah, that was worth $40. I like that. That was good, you know? The interviews with Dee Snider, John Pellico of Killer Pumpkins. A lot of it sometimes sort of tends to lean towards a little bit of the horror genre, just because that's just so expansive in the world of the supernatural. But for us, we look at it that there's no borders, really. The supernatural just covers everything.
Yeah, it definitely does.
You know, Sean, I'm actually interested in the fact that you said your family is an entertainment history. I'm actually looking for a new co-host for my show. And I wouldn't even have to trade.
We've been in entertainment for 17 years. Hello.
Yeah, but with Sean, I barely.
Hey, if you need me to co-host, I'm no problem. You don't have to change the name or anything.
That's right. You know, it'd just be Sean K, the Ghost Hunter, or the Ghost Man, and
the Demon Hunter and Sean K show, everybody. And Yvette. No, but Yvette, what I wanted to ask you guys, do you have like different jobs? Yvette, you do like movies, and Sean does paranormal stuff, or you guys just kind of switch it up? Back and forth.
I'm not sure what I just heard, because I'm getting a lot of crackling, so I couldn't hear you.
Let me see if I can fix that. Hold on. Try it now, Sean.
Can you guys hear me?
Oh, there we go.
Okay,
I was just wondering, like, between you and Yvette, I mean, do you guys split up the workload? Like, Yvette will do bands and movie reviews kind of thing, and you'll do paranormal, and you guys go back and forth, or how's that work?
We kind of split it up in a way where Yvette does a lot of the, I don't want to lump it into a way like this, but Yvette does a lot of, like, the high profile, where, you know, she went and did Supernatural, all that. You know, I like to call them the big guns, you know, everybody's got to do that. I do a lot
top
with,
shelf,
like,
baby.
The independents and a lot of that. We do have a staff of a number of people. We've got people in England, Canada, Chicago, Wisconsin. And, you know, we all kind of put it together where it's like, you know, we need this. Who do I have on staff that knows this? Who knows this? Who knows that? It's just been one nice collaborative effort that everybody that we've got has worked very hard to do, because they've all been interested. They all been we met a couple of them at a Supernatural convention, which was really great.
It just seemed to happen. I in general handle like connecting with Warner Brothers and stuff like that. Right now, I'm trying to be in the works of setting up interview with Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who just finished filming The Watchmen, as well as Zack Snyder, as we know from 2004's Dawn of the Dead. And he also just did Watchmen. He did the 300 last year. So we're trying to get them for an issue. We just landed Shawnee Smith, who did Saw 2 through 5. Well, they're actually starting to film 5. And Missy Pyle, because they just formed a band, Smith and Pyle. And so we're doing coverage for them for our next issue. And so they're going to be in our next issue also. So we're working on that. We're trying to work on getting Alice Cooper. So we're working with all these representatives, all the representatives, and everybody has been absolutely fantastic so far on working with us to find out how we can work around people's shooting schedules, how we can do A, B, and C. You know, when I was at Asylum, it was great. You know, we got all the Supernatural stars there. We were interviewing A.J. Buckley, who's also on CSI New York. And on Supernatural, he plays one of the ghost faces with Travis Lester, who is, you know, also on Supernatural also. And Ghostface is kind of like a ripoff, a funny ripoff of the Ghost Hunters. So, you know, it's been an incredible experience so far. And, you know, I did Icon in April, which is down in Florida, and I've been hired back, because when I end up going there for press, I also end up working these conventions. Somehow or another, I end up being help coordinating these conventions. So Kenny, who owns Icon down in Florida, actually just hired me back this September to come down and work for him, as well as doing press.
Right.
So
right.
It's great to be able to do this stuff.
Yeah, so you get to talk to a lot of these big names. And you know what? Same thing with the radio show here, guys, because I know how hard it is doing schedule. Now, do you guys work full-time as well as do this magazine?
Yeah, I do. I have a full-time job. Besides that, we also own a production company where we produce a show called The King's Feast out of Pawtucket, Rhode Island, every Saturday night.
Right, and we do side gigs. We own a production company where we'll do stage combat shows. We do all different kinds of shows, and we own the Dinner Theater on top of that, which is a weekly gig every Saturday evening. So we do that on top of it, as well as, you know, we have three kids. We have three boys.
Yeah.
So it's a full-time gig, that alone, but my gig is full-time is trying to get the magazine up, working with the production company, and dealing with the kids. Sean works full-time at another job and then comes home, and then our nights are generally one end of the table to the other. We've got our laptops going, trying to get in touch with different agents and different people through MySpace or whatever, which has been a fantastic networking tool.
Oh, yeah.
Is MySpace, so.
You know, Sean.
I'm sure you know that.
Sean and I both learned that. I had some stage combat skills when we were out filming American Ghost Watchers.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes, because I took stage combat in school when I was studying theater, but it came in handy when we were filming this movie since Tim Yancey had to throw me all over a room. And,
yeah, I'm a small guy, so I'm the guy that gets chucked around a lot. Yeah, I know that feeling.
Well, I'm not a small guy, fortunately. I'm not a small guy, but fortunately, Tim Yancey was bigger than me, so it.
Oh,
jeez. Yeah, but Yvette and Sean, I got to ask you guys. My dream is always to have like a fake battle with somebody wearing a loincloth. Can you guys make this a reality for me? Because I'm ready to do it.
Just join the SCA, Sean. Just join the SCA.
I have my black loincloth
on
right
kidding.
Now.
Yeah, go get a boffer and go whack yourself silly in Pennsylvania.
I got
a
lot of
oil on.
Done that myself.
Done that before.
Yeah, you guys do this. Of course, I did something on the Sci-Fi Channel. It was like my 5 seconds of fame, man, right when the Ghost Hunters came out. Taps and all that good stuff, right? When they first came out, there was a series on Sci-Fi called Proof Positive. And I got my shot, man. I was doing a big investigation at the Willard Library here in Evansville, Indiana, and it was the hunt for the Blue Lady Ghost. And I got to tell you, you know, I got up there, man. They had the bright lights burning. They had the mics in my face and everything, and I'm trying to do an investigation, EVP, the whole nine yards, right? But the thing about it is I think I was the only cat on there that was proof negative. And it was great, too, guys, because they had Amanda Tapping from some science fiction thing on the Sci-Fi Channel. You guys don't talk about Amanda Tapping?
Me neither,
Space Gate.
Sean. I just don't know.
Space Gate or whatever that was. Kirk Douglas or whatever did a movie about it. Anyway, I was doing that, man, and she made like a whole thing. Sean Burris has been investigating ghosts for 10 years or whatever. So I had the EMF meter, right? I had the Geiger counter out. I had all this stuff going, right? All the lights and everything. And I caught a couple things. EMF levels kind of rise in some areas. Got some EVP here or there. And, you know, they played the music, da-da-da-da, because I said, you know, when the EMFs go up, there could possibly be some ghost activity here. And the music went da-da-da-da, and then Amanda Taffin came in and said, proof negative, because I didn't have enough to prove. Yeah, yeah, so that's my legacy, guys. That's what I left behind for my children, you know? When they go back in the archives and go, hey, Dad was into that paranormal stuff, they'll find Mr. Proof Negative.
Now, you said you guys have kids, too, and what's it like to have a full-time job running a paper, running a production company, and then have kids running around?
Oh, it's crazy. Our boys are 14, 8, and 5, and you know, our 14-year-old, he's getting right into it with us. He's all interested in it. He's one of those guys. The best thing about it is he's one of those guys, you get a new DVD, you watch the movie on the DVD, you go, oh, great, movie's over, all right, I'm going to go out and do something else. He's right in there doing the 16 hours director's cut, behind the scenes, yep. All that. You know. So he loves doing all that, and it gets him going because they're all interested in ghosts, the supernatural. Right. I mean, you know, the first film that any of these guys ever watched when they were growing up for any kind of horror or monster films was Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. So, you know, they get kicked right into it right off. And he's the big horror junkie. When we sit and review independent films, he's right there sitting next to me, and we're watching it and, you know, making little notes and making little comments and stuff like that, and just kind of, it's one of those where it's nice because also, you know, he's 14, he's at that edge of, okay, this is where your market is actually starting now. He's going to be a customer of yours for a while, so you get stuff and go, so Nick, what do you think of this? What do you think about this? How do you, you know, you have your own kind of beta tester right in your house, you know?
And he's honest. Boy, is he brutally honest. Yeah. We'll give him stuff in the magazine and say, what do you think about this? And he'll be like, yeah, it's good for a rough draft. Okay, well, I guess we got to go back to the drawing board on that one. Thanks,
okay,
son.
Yeah.
You know, just spent 8 hours on this, but thank you. You know?
Well, it's
good to have.
I'm going to ask Yvette first, and then I'm going to ask you, Sean. Yvette. The scariest,
yes,
crazy movie you've ever seen, ever since we were kids, up until now, what is the classic horror movie that you've seen that sticks in your head?
You want to know what the scariest movie I ever saw that scared the shit out of me? Salem's Lot.
One of the scariest
movies I've ever seen, the original one. And it's because of what didn't happen.
Right.
I loved Salem's Lot.
Yeah, with the old man, right? You had the caretaker. He was like, remember the priest? He was like, come on, holy man, show me the cross or whatever. And then he had that big monster, and he grabbed the cross, and he melted it down. See, that's classic. They don't make movies like that anymore, guys. Back in the 70s, early 80s, man, when we were kids, that's where it's at.
I think
12 years old when I saw that. When that kid was out there, like, floating in front of the window, scratching on it, I was done.
Out the window, yeah. Nobody came out of the coffin, right? You know?
Yep.
To me, it is, and I was like, and that's a TV movie, and because it was over the space of two nights with David Soul and the whole night, I don't think I've ever been so freaked out in all my life, and I just remember, like, seeing that movie and sleeping by my mother's bed for, like, 3 days.
I don't know, I remember an extremely sore arm coming out of the Dawn of the Dead movies.
Oh, yes, so that was 2004. He said kid. 2004, Dawn of the Dead, though, because they moved so darn fast. The next day, I'm looking out the window going, are there zombies?
Absolutely. You know, getting back to Salem's Lot, guys, talking about the original Salem's Lot, not the one made for the Sci-Fi Channel, which was cool, but I'm talking about the older one made back in the late 70s, right?
Yep.
Okay, that one, my brother, he was like 16 or 17 years old, and he lived upstairs. And I remember we watched that one night, and he went upstairs, and we heard him scream, and he fell all the way down the stairs because he's seen a shadow after that cat jumped out of the coffin, man. I mean, those are the kind of movies.
That movie just left images in your mind of like just of the vampire itself, because it was, you know, the old fashioned kind with the ears and the teeth and the glowing
eyes. Yeah, the Nosferatu one. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I remember
my
mom and my aunt. They had this big picture, and you guys probably got this one too growing up. But it had the like the little kid and the old, you know how they used to wear the little vest with the suits that came up to their knees and they'd pull their socks up. He kind of looked like that cat that was scratching on the window, and it like hung right in the dining room, and he stared at me the whole night while I slept, so I couldn't sleep. You know, it was.
Sean was laughing one time. So we were watching some movie, and they start with the, and yeah, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will see a new evil. I'm doing it, and he's going, how the heck do you even know that? I was like, Salem's Lot, dude. David Soul was doing it with the tongue depressors.
Classic,
before he killed Danny Glick's mother. And he's like, oh, my God, you are such a geek. And I'm like, Sorry, man, but that's true.
When she sets up off that slab in the morgue and she's like, Danny.
Yeah, she's going, Danny. And he's just got the tongue depressors put together and he's like, go. And as I walk through the family, I'm like, oh my God. And you're like 12 years old. And I'm going, but it's because of what they didn't show. It was all little things that just left it up to your imagination without the blood and the gore. And scared the heck out of me.
Now, I'm guessing, guys, that I'm guessing that Shallow Graves is kind of like a look into your guys' favorites and stuff like that. But can people send in, like, requests for stuff to be done?
Yeah, sure. If there's something that they got, we'd be more than happy to see any of that. The good thing is I, you know, the MySpace is just a... I love it.
I do too.
You troll around there and you find some of the wildest things and you go, you know what? This has got to come out somewhere. That's what the Nothing Stays Buried Forever line comes out, where it's, we want to expose everything to everybody to see it, because a lot of times there's some good stuff out there that just, you can't see it because whether it's they're low budget, you know, they're just trying to start out, they're trying to make their way through. I mean, like I said, with the independent films, there's a lot of stuff that we've had come through that you sit there and you got to go, okay, we're not here to trash anybody because, you know, somebody's trash is somebody else's treasure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these people are working so hard with no money to try and make a movie or write a book or do a magazine or create a model or something that they create by their own hands. You know, we want people to see these things. Horror Idols, for instance. Neil DeConte is the creator of Horror Idols. What he did was he makes these statues of the people who do the monsters. It's his homage to all these people. Some of his most recent thing is Victor Crowley from Hatchet, which is his latest release. And what he does is he makes 20 of these, breaks the mold. But the best thing about this is he adds, like, little things where every single statue that he's made is signed off by the person who created it, like Kane Hodder's Victor Crowley. He's got it autographed by Kane Hodder. He's got it autographed by the director. And Neil actually goes out to the sites where the movies are shot and gets something. The ground that's on the base of the model is the actual dirt from the site. You know, he'll go out and get. He's doing one for Dee Snider's Strangeland. He's doing Captain Howdy, and they're actually the body paint that they're using for the model is the actual body paint in the special effects department from the movie that they used on Dee. I mean, he goes out to try and get this little extra, you know, for these things, and these creations are amazing. They're all done by hand, and it's just, you know, there's things like that. You want to get out there because it's like. You know, people, come on, take a look at this. This is awesome. This is amazing. Whether you believe in the supernatural or not, big deal. Come on, take a look at this, you know?
That's what we try to do. Everybody deserves a chance. That's our motto. Everybody deserves a chance. It doesn't have to be just big names, you know?
Absolutely, guys.
You still there, Sean?
I'm here.
I didn't know if we lost you again there. It got real quiet.
Well, where can people find all your information? Because we're going to have to go to a break, and we want
to
make sure that everybody can find you.
Shallowgraves.org, or they can go to our MySpace page. I'm on that pretty much every single day to check out things. It's, you know, MySpace/Shallowgraves Magazine.
So either MySpace or
Shallowgraves.com. What else? I'm trying to think where else we are.
I have a MySpace page. Don't forget me.
Oh, yeah.
What's her face? You know her.
What's her face? .com.
Yvette has a MySpace page, too.
Yeah.
And what is that MySpace page, Yvette?
My MySpace page is... She don't know.
Good.
Dicks who love Salem's Lot.
I can tell you in a second.
Go to the Shallow Graves magazine site, and you'll go to the first row. There's a vet with her cowboy hat. You got it.
I started one for myself because I wanted people to see the face behind, one of the faces behind it. I just wanted people still to see it, and it's been really nice. It's my MySpace page is basically MySpace/ Yvette Kelly. I just wanted people to be able to see that one of the faces behind it makes it more personable, and it's helped a lot with networking when it came to a lot of the big-name stars. because Jane, one of the first people I got through my MySpace was Jane Zahn from Death Walks the Streets, and it was great to be able to have him as one of our first interviews because the trilogy he's starting to film this summer. He's got a comic book that's premiering at the end of this month at Wizard World convention there. So he's got all this stuff going on. So he was like excellently, really nice to let us be one of our first interviews. We've been very blessed so far, I've got to say, because everybody I've been in touch with and Sean's been in touch with for interviews have been so accommodating with us
interviews,
you know.
We have one of the interviews is we have a gathering of 8 horror hosts from around the country.
Mm.
And one of them is Count Gore Duvall, who's been horror hosting TV shows for 30 years. And just the insight these guys have been giving me on certain things, it's amazing what they've done, you know, how horror hosts just kind of, they've hung in there for years. I mean, there's a lot of people back there besides Elvira, you know, is kind of the big name, you know, she doesn't do the much of the horror hosting anymore, but these people are just, they were nothing but nice, you know, they're like, you need anything, just call me. I mean, you know, I've gotten some great contacts through some of these people, and we've done things for them. It's just, it's one of those things, you just want to get the word out that they're still out there, they're still doing this.
Hey, when we had Elvira on the show here, Sean almost lost it, so.
Oh, I would have lost it, too.
he's dying to get her for a interview with. I have this long list, and I'm slowly going down it, but right now it's like, okay, we got Smith and Pyle, we've got Zack, you know, working on Zack Snyder because of the fact that, you know, he just did The Watchmen. We've got Jeffrey Dean Morgan because he just did The Watchmen, and he just, you know, he's on Supernatural, and he's filming another thriller, so we're trying to, like, slowly but surely work our way down people and hopefully be able to keep on churning out magazines with great stuff. And then we have all these great people that have been turning in independent. We also have where people can submit their own ghost stories from around the country. So it's not just my brother Tommy.
Right.
People submit ghost stories. We have a place where people can go to, is it submissions, Sean?
Submissions.shellbreak.org. Yep.
People can submit fiction stories.
Yep, they can,
you know, so there's a lot of things going on.
Guys, we're gonna have to wrap it up, guys, because we're actually in the next segment now.
Sorry about that.
We have to go to a break. No, believe me, we could sit here and talk all night. I wish we'd plan more time, but we'll have to have you back to talk more about what's going on. Because I know when I just saw the first cover of the magazine, I was like, I was hooked right then because you had Supernatural on the cover.
It's a great cover. The artist was Patrick E. Poulin. He did a fantastic job of it.
Yeah, he did. He did a great cover. And what we like about it is we call it an autographable cover, too. So that's what we do like about it. So a lot of people, we've already pre-sold so many of them that we are very happy with it. Our pre-sales have already gone through the roof. And we are premiering. We're going to print this week, so we'll be premiering in the next week and a half.
Awesome. So everybody should check that out. That's Shallow Graves. And they can see more about it on shallowgraves.com, is it?
Yep, they can go to shallowgraves.org if they want to pre-order the magazine. There's something right under subscriptions. They can do it through PayPal. They can send a check or a money order. And it says it explains it all right there for them.
Awesome, guys. Well, we look forward to that, and we hope to have you back on the show real soon.
Oh, we'd love to be coming back.
Oh, yes,
sure.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, Sean, who's going to be on the line?
All right, guys, stick around. Up next, Larry Flaxman from Our Past. That's the Arkansas Paranormal Anomalist Studies. He stops by, guys, to talk to the G&D show tonight. Stay tuned.
Thanks, Sean and Kelly. We'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you.
All right, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much. Have a great night.
You too.
Thanks.
Just when you thought you'd seen it all, here comes Scarefest 2008 crawling with real ghost hunters, cryptozoologists, paranormal experts, even exorcists. We've also invited stars from the House of 1,000 Corpses, the Devil's Reject, and we're hosting our very own Friday the 13th reunion. Make plans now to meet your favorite stars at the Scarefest, the biggest horror and paranormal convention in the Southeast, September 12th to 14th at Lexington, Kentucky's Lexington Convention Center. We're waiting for you right now at thescarefest.com. Just don't come alone.
Technology today.
The goal of the demonic is death. Plain and simple, it is death.
All of a sudden, he gets slapped in the face and he flies against the wall. And his hands disappear across his face.
Very scary here. Everything about it is scary. To work in this field, our faith is very
it was escalating to where
objects
started moving.
This is a war that we're fighting.
What you're talking about does not think in human terms. It is from another time and place.
Demonology today. Class is now in session.
Featuring Chad Deal, Alan Glassell, and Deborah Johnson.
Thursday, 7 to 8 p.m. Central, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the I Am Haunted Radio Network.
Hey, this is Uncle Bonehead from Local Loud and Proud on the Bush Radio, and you're listening to the original Bad Boys of the Paranormal, Ghost Man and Demon Hunter.
Hey, and we're back, Sean.
We are back. That's right, everybody. That's right, Uncle Bonehead. Thank you. We have been referred to as the original Bad Boys of the Paranormal, so glad to have you guys with us tonight.
So who's in the third chair, Sean?
Well, what we got, little brothers, we have Larry Flaxman. This cat is from ARPAS, the Arkansas Paranormal and Anomalous Studies Team, guys. And they've been doing some great stuff out there in Arkansas, and he's going to come down and he's going to talk to us tonight about what's going on. Larry Flaxman, thanks for joining us tonight on the Ghostman Demon Hunter Show.
Thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely, little brother, absolutely. Now, are you the creator of ARPAS?
Yes.
Okay, now what led you to start that? I mean, did you just I'm sorry?
I missed the question. It cut out right when you were saying.
I'm sorry. I just, a lot of us, when we grow up, we grow up in a haunted home or some stuff goes on like that. That's why we get into ghost hunting. What's your story? What happened with you, Larry?
Nothing. I really, honestly, there's not a story. It's just been something that I've been interested in, I guess, since I was a little kid. I've always wanted to kind of know about forbidden or unknown knowledge. So I don't really have any stories to tell. It's just something I've always had a deep fascination with.
Absolutely. Now, how old were you when you started ARPAS?
We started ARPAS last year, the first part of 2007. I've been doing paranormal investigation in one form or another for the past 13 years, but ARPAS has officially been in business for the past year, a little over a year.
Okay, so you guys are like a regular paranormal group. You guys take calls, people call in, they say they want you to do private and residential investigations, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We're a member of the TAPS family, so we get a lot of TAPS referrals as well. We're not ghost hunters. That's definitely, I know you didn't use that term, but a lot of people, that's the hot term nowadays for things. We are not ghost hunters. We are not out there looking for ghosts. Our charter is to look for environmental conditions that may be prescient to a paranormal event. So we're not actually studying paranormal phenomena as much as we are studying the environmental impact of a paranormal event.
Absolutely. So when you go into a haunting, you try to disprove it before you actually lead in, of course, to the case where somebody says, hey, Aunt Fanny's walking across the TV every night. We see her apparition. You try to find something else that could be causing this, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I would say probably in 99% of the investigations that we do, there is a very prosaic explanation for the activity that's reported. So, yeah, first and foremost, I would say that I wouldn't really call us debunkers, but I would say that the vast majority of investigations that we do are they're nothing of the paranormal nature.
You know what? And I ran into that too, Larry, because I've been doing this for about 13 years now, and I went out to a lot of houses, brother, and I heard a lot of the stories. I heard a lot of the case background, and I found nothing that could prove a haunting while I was there. Now, of course, when I did the investigation, I was out there probably 3 or 4 times. These people lived there, so I really couldn't tell them, your house isn't haunted. I could just tell them
right.
I didn't find anything. You know what I mean?
Right, sure.
because these people live there every day. They sleep there. They know what's going on. But like you said, I found that over 90% of the cases, I found, you know, reasonable explanations that were like everyday occurrences. The pipes banging in the walls.
Yep.
You know, people playing pranks. I know I worked on one case one time where the kids would scratch in the residue on the shower door. They would scratch things out on the door, and the mother thought she was sure it was her father came back, and her father was communicating to her. And while I was out there, the kid actually admitted to it. So, you know, it was that kind of stuff happens sometimes, man. But I tell you what, there's always that 1 or 2% that you run into that you can't explain. And I want you to tell us a little bit about.
You know, Larry, we kept finding that we were going out on cases and getting a horrible sulfurous smell, and then we realized we were ghost hunting with Sean B. So it explained itself.
Did you guys stop off for dinner at Taco Bell beforehand?
I think he may have.
Hey, I don't care what you guys say. Taco Bell is from heaven. That is the best food you can get before a ghost investigation. I'm just saying, man. But you know what, Larry? I've been on a lot of cases, and like I said, man, there is no professionals in this field. I think you'll agree with me on that. But I've ran into a couple cases, I would say, in the last 4 years out of 13 years doing this that I have no explanation for. And it's wild. EVP is my – I love EVP. Electronic voice phenomena, because
that's kind of my specialty as well. Let me back up a second. Actually, I do disagree with what you just said. Not trying to cause controversy, but I actually do not believe that everybody in the field is professional. I think there are professional organizations, our past is one, but there are groups out there that are definitely not professional, even though they tout themselves as being so. You know, just because you have a $50 EMF meter and you watch Ghost Hunters or Most Haunted on TV does not make you a paranormal investigator by any means. There is tremendous amount.
It doesn't? Then what am I going to do with that $50 EMF meter that I just bought?
I tell you what, Larry, I'm sorry. Let me restate myself. I said I thought you would agree. There are no professionals in the paranormal community. Do you agree with
that? There are professionals in the paranormal community, definitely.
I think there are professionals. Expert. There are no experts, Sean.
Yes, okay. There are no experts, but I believe there are professionals for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think with the dearth of programming that you see on TV, just kind of going back to what we were just talking about a minute ago, you know, you've got 5 million TV shows that are out there about paranormal phenomena. And, you know, the latest and greatest thing to be cool is to become a paranormal investigator. And it seems, you know, you purchase your $50 EMF meter, you go to Walmart, you buy your digital recorder, you register a domain name, and you're automatically a ghost hunting group.
It's like you just copied my whole life.
Well, you know,
I'm kidding.
I really have a problem with that. The groups that do that, I think, are the ones that are giving all of us that are legitimate researchers a bad name. They're the ones that are causing us to lose locations to investigate, or the locations that are charging us outrageous fees to come investigate. You know, if you look at traditional science and you look at the traditional science field, they may have some disagreements within the field, but they maintain their professionalism. Now, if you compare the science field with the paranormal field, there's a huge disparity in professionalism. I mean, you see a tremendous difference in methodology between a true scientific organization and a, quote, paranormal organization.
Now, Larry, I just want to argue with you one little point here because, you know, Sean can maybe go with this on me. After 15 years of doing this, Ghost Hunters have never really had a good name.
No, they haven't. And, you know, honestly, I've done a lot of thinking about this, and I think the reason why they don't have a good name is they bring it on themselves.
They really
do. If you talk to a lot of the other groups, especially the ones that are the fly-by-night groups that start up and then shut down, they're in it for the wrong reasons, but there is so much drama and so much head games and so much ego that's involved in the whole field that, you know, you're bound to create problems within the field and give yourself a bad reputation. So the legitimate researchers look into our field and they see that the small percentage of groups that are doing that are all about the fame and well, there's not really any fortune in this, but they're all about the fame and the egotism and everything else, and it gives all of us a bad reputation, and it's a bad deal all around.
Right. I agree.
I agree with you 100%. But like I said about the professional guys, maybe I did mean experts. I do apologize for that. What I was getting at, though, is just basically what you said, Larry, is a lot of people go into homes and stuff and they claim to be experts in the field. And, of course, there are no experts. No one knows everything. Absolutely. All we know is what the previous ghost hunters have done in the past, the things that have worked, ways of doing EVP, certain questions that have worked, that have got a rise out of the ghost or the activity happening in the home. And, you know, I just think that we're learning every day, and I think we're growing. And what I was leading up to ask you is, what is your wildest case you think you've been on in the years that you've had RPAS going where you cannot – know for sure what's going on in the house, that you would, it would lead you to believe there's actual paranormal activity going on?
I would say we really don't have a lot of luck with private investigations. We try to have a 50-50 mix between private investigations and historical locations. And I would say the vast majority of events that we can't explain using traditional science are definitely not private investigations. It seems like, at least for sure lately, most of the private investigations we've been doing have been individuals that are, you know, more, they're more interested in the attention, really, than anything else, and there's really not been any definitive proof that we've been able to determine. But going back to your question, there is a location in the upper part of our state. It's a tuberculosis sanatorium.
Okay.
It was in operation from the early 1900s, and it shut down officially in the 1950s when it converted into a children's colony, but there was anywhere estimates from 2,500 to 25,000 people that had passed away in this location. And if you know anything about tuberculosis, back in those days there really wasn't a cure, and they built these sanatoriums throughout the country as basically places to go and die. They had experimental procedures that they would perform, things like that. And you know, when you were sent to a tuberculosis sanatorium, you basically knew that if their experimental surgeries didn't work, that you were there to die. So this particular location, that we've gone, actually I've been to this location 13 times now. Every time that we go, we've had some type of unexplained phenomena. There's a lot of, I hesitate to use the term, but a lot of energy in the environment there. The previous time that we just went a couple of weeks ago, but the previous time that we went to that, we captured what we believe to be a full-bodied apparition using our thermal camera that was on the second floor, and it seemed to display some sentient capabilities. So it didn't really have any. I don't really have an explanation for that. I can't say for sure that it's a, you know, apparition or a paranormal event, but it definitely is unexplainable. I haven't run across really anything that I just, you know, just can't wrap my head around. Other than that, that's really been kind of the biggie for us.
Absolutely. Now, I don't know if we can talk about this, Larry, but a good friend of the show, Marie D. Jones, she's a great friend of ours, and, you know, there's some rumors that you guys might be talking about maybe doing a book.
We actually have a series of books that we're producing. The first book is due out in February 2009. It's called 1111, and it talks about the sacred numbers and the correlation between the times. Sometimes you see, you know, people wake up at exactly 11:11, or they'll look at a clock every time and it's 11:11. So yeah, the first book kind of talks about just numbers, some interesting facts about that phenomena. The second book that we're writing is one that actually is a connection between paranormal phenomena and resonance. We've actually been able to do some research and determine that some paranormal phenomena, as well as some just general unexplained phenomena, is related to resonance and a grid type system. So that book is tentatively titled, gosh, we don't even have the official title for that. What did we tentatively?
What's
we
the it, working title?
Parascience. Oh, I can't even remember the official title yet. We just got the contract for that one last week. So we have a third book that's coming out after that. Thanks. There's a third book that's coming out after that. I don't want to really reveal too much about that. We have an entire series that's coming out, and we have a website that you can go to. It's totally separate from RPAS, but it's paraexplorers.com, P-A-R-A, explorers.com.
Okay.
So, yeah, we are definitely collaborating on some work together.
Well, that's very cool. We love Maria, so that should be very interesting to listen or read.
Yeah, she's a great friend, very smart. She's actually one of our RPAS consultants, and we bounce a lot of ideas off of her, some physics things that we've had some questions about, and we just kind of hooked up and became friends and then decided that we wanted to present some information to the world in a unified manner and just decide to write some books.
Right. Now, Larry, what is your background? Can you tell me a little bit about it? I mean, have you went to are you a parapsychologist or anything like that, or are you just a paranormal investigator?
My background actually is in law enforcement and IT work. I do both.
Okay. So it was mine.
Yeah, I've got an investigative background, and it kind of melds with my IT background, so.
Yeah, well, there you go. I worked for the Marion County Sheriff's Department for about 5 years, and actually when I went to the police academy, they did a whole thing on the cult and the beliefs in the cult and certain cases that they had been on and things that happened and what to do when that stuff goes bad. And they actually talked about a case where they showed up, the Indianapolis Police Department, and things were flying around the house and stuff like that, and how sometimes you could actually run into something like that. So, yeah, I mean, with the case reports and stuff you have to do as a police officer, I can see where that ties into the paranormal.
Well, the investigative methodology and the attention to detail, I think, is something that's pretty important.
Now, Larry, I read your bio and everything like that. You have about 150 members worldwide?
Yes, we're one of the largest groups in the country. We, like I mentioned before, we're a member of the Taft family. We generally float between 110 and 150 members. Members drop off, and then we add new members, and usually around October, around Halloween time, we tend to get a whole bunch of new members, and then people come on an investigation, and they see how boring it is, and then decide that it's not for them. So, yeah, we float between 100 to 150 members.
And what kind of training do you provide these members with if they're new to the system and what they should be doing?
Well, training is actually one of the most important aspects of RPAS. In addition to being a 100% science-based group, and of course you hear that term used a lot, but unless you actually have equipment, you really are not scientific. Using psychics and Ouija boards does not provide any type of black and white hard evidence. So as far as training, we use about $250,000 worth of equipment, and obviously with that investment in equipment, we have quite a bit of sophisticated pieces of equipment that require training. All of our investigators have to go through monthly training courses. They have to all be familiar with and certified to use the various pieces of equipment before they're allowed even to come on an investigation. We provide training in a number of ways. We provide training online. We have an online extranet system that's a secure system where our members can log in and access our training materials that we've produced. There's some video-based training materials that we're putting together for that as well. We have in-person training that we do usually once or twice a month, just depending on what our investigative schedule is like. All of the pieces of equipment, it's very important to me that our investigators understand how to use the equipment, how to interpret the equipment, how to use and deploy the equipment. You can have the absolute best pieces of equipment in the world, but if you don't know how to use it, you don't know how to actually interpret the results, then all you're doing is just creating bad data. You're just creating useless pieces of information for yourself.
Okay.
So training is very integral to our mission. It's one of the few things, I think, also that differentiates us from a lot of the other paranormal groups out there. There's a lot of things I mentioned before. You know, just because you see your favorite actor on TV carrying his EMF meter around, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's the best way to do it. In fact, carrying an EMF meter is actually incorrect. You really don't need to be carrying your EMF meter due to the fact that the human body produces microvoltage of electricity, which the EMF meter more than likely is going to pick up. So you see it on TV because it's dramatic, but as far as actual evidence capture and data validation purposes, you don't carry an EMF meter with you.
Now,
a
natural EMF detector will pick up the microvolts or the magnetic field caused by a person and from moving through the magnetic field itself. But your typical cell sensor and stuff like that won't pick up anything from a natural source.
No, like the cell sensor and the K2, those pieces of equipment are so insensitive and there's no way to calibrate them. There's no way to actually to read the metrics of the accuracy of them. Those pieces of equipment are not, as far as I'm concerned, they're not scientific equipment. I mean, they're really not useful.
Well, they are scientific equipment. They're not useful in our field as far
in
as
our field,
certain. Because,
right.
I mean, yeah. Yes, they were designed for a scientific purpose. And I still carry one around in my pocket when I'm working on a case, just in case it goes off, if I'm working in an area that has absolutely no like I went down to Fort Mifflin. At night, there's no electricity running through the place, so if it goes off, it gives me an idea to do some work around there. But if I'm using a natural meter, I'm going to set it down and leave it with a camera focused on it.
Well, one of the reasons we don't generally use those pieces of equipment, I'm not, you know, of course I'm not slamming those pieces of equipment, but what we do is we log data. You know, again, as a tenant of recording environmental conditions, those like the K2 meter and the Dr. Gauss meter and all those things, there's really no data logging capability that's built into them at all. There's also no differentiation ability built into them. So you really have no way of knowing exactly what the readings are other than an LED lights up or it beeps. So as far as for our purposes, the data logging and gathering purpose, so we have some information to actually input into our database. Those pieces of equipment they're just not useful to us. But you know, of course, it is useful to other groups, like you mentioned, but just as far as our charter, it's not.
Now,
could you clear something up for me? There's a lot of paranormal investigation groups out there, a lot of good ones. And we've had the privilege on this show to talk to a lot of them. Could you clear up, because there's a lot of them that aren't TAPS family members, what's the difference and what's the benefits of being versus a TAPS family member?
Being a member of the TAPS family, first of all, has really nothing to do with the TV show. A lot of people automatically associate the two things, and there's really a pretty big distinction between the two. The TV show is an entertainment show. The TAPS group, the actual group, their investigative methodology is not exactly what you see on TV. If it was, it wouldn't probably sell advertising, and it probably wouldn't be as popular as it is. It's a great show. We're all huge fans of it, but that's not the benefit of being a member of the family. The real benefit of being a member of the TAPS family is that it allows us to network with other like-minded groups throughout the country. Like you mentioned, there are a lot of groups that are legitimate, very science-based, very respectable groups, and the ones that joining the TAPS family, first of all, it's a fairly difficult process to even get in. You have to be approved, you go through a process selection, and there's all kinds of questions you fill out, and it allows us basically to research with other, it allows us to collaborate with other like-minded research groups, groups that share the same standards, groups that have the same ethics and the same abilities as our group. So they provide a lot to us.
Well, that's good. That's good. I always say that the paranormal groups, if they just open up a little bit more and shared their evidence and shared how they do things, this would be a better organization to be with, a better community, paranormal community, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's unfortunate, but, you know, like I mentioned before, there's so much bickering and fighting and just crap that goes on in the community that's really a rarity, you know, that there's much, much more groups that are not sharing evidence and they're not properly collaborating on trying to find answers than are. And, you know, ultimately that's a real negative for everybody.
You still there, Sean?
I'm here, 100%. Okay. I was just listening to what Larry had to say about TAPS family there. You know, like I said, I've seen that a lot, Larry. Thanks for clearing that up. I didn't know exactly what that meant. I knew a lot of organizations were getting with the TAPS family, and it makes sense. It makes sense for a lot of people to share stuff. But you know what, guys out there listening, you don't have to be a TAPS family member. Guys, everybody needs to get together and share their evidence and share the ways that they've got it. And talk to other researchers and share things, guys, because nobody's an expert when it comes to this, and we learn from each other.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Larry,
you know, I would also add to that, too, if we're all in this for the same reasons, if we're all trying to find, you know, we're trying to find the Holy Grail, we're trying to find the answers to the questions that we seek, more than one mind working together is going to be the best way to do it, you know?
Absolutely.
You know, it's funny, though, because Sean and I have had this comment before on several occasions. Sean's looking for the evidence, and I quite frankly don't believe we'll ever find proof of the paranormal. So I have absolutely no interest in the evidence. I enjoy going to historical sites and pulling up the equipment that I use. And don't make any jokes there, Sean. And setting up my cameras and my recorders, and I get some EVPs here and there. But I go out and do it strictly as a counselor, usually, to talk to people and help them through difficult times. So the evidence really doesn't mean that much to me. But, you know, that I see that there's a lot of people out there really interested. And I think it goes back to what Sean and I were talking about at the beginning of the show, with we've really got an upsurge in questioning the end of times now. We've got a questioning in what happens when we die. The acceptance of the common person just accepting that when we die we either go to heaven or hell has kind of fallen away, and people want to know what happens next. So you know, there's a lot more questions out there. But we're actually going to have to wrap up in a minute there, Larry, and I just wanted you to be able to send out your website there so people could find out where they can find out more information about you and where and how to join your group.
Okay, absolutely. To find more information about our past, feel free to visit us on the web. Our website address is www.arpaft.org. That's ourpast.org. And I think you'll find it interesting. We have well over 500 pages on the website now, quite a bit of research and various pieces of information for you.
That's great. Well, Larry, can you hang on the phone for just a minute while Sean and I wrap up?
Absolutely.
That's great. Thank you. Hold on one second there, Sean, because we got to take this chance to thank everybody for joining us here tonight for the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
Absolutely, little brother. Larry Flaxman from our past, everybody. Thanks, Larry. And be sure to check out our website at www.ghostanddemon.com and log into our forums, because we want to hear from you.
And don't forget, you can check out the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show if you've missed part of this episode or any episode by going to our website, www.ghostanddemon.com, or you can hear us on Para X Radio, Planet Paranormal, Podcast Alley, Podomatic, iTunes, Blueberry, Mediafly, Podbean, Podcast Pickle, Podplanet, and the Podfeed Network. And join us next week, even though it's not on the website yet. Sean, are we seeing that wonderful lady next week?
We are seeing the baby girl of the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show, the love of our life, Marie D. Jones, guys, next Sunday, author of Peace, Science, and many more. Super Volcanoes next Sunday. Stick around for that one.
That's right, next Sunday, June 15th. And I think, Sean, we have to say goodnight.
Yep, goodnight, everybody. Hey, don't go changing ghost hunters. You know we won't. We love you.
Good night.
Night, guys.
So say goodnight to the bad guy. Yeah.